Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll level two. Begins now. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between on this angry Thursday night throwdown rolling into Friday the 13th. So would we have it any other way? And there is a lot of anger in the air. Listen, I always have fun talking with Teddy Covers, but let's just be real. That was freaking terrible, man. If you're the Tennessee Titans, you know, if I didn't bet on it, and I actually like them. That's the thing. I actually like the Tennessee Titans. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. I should hate them because of the Music City Miracle, but I like Eddie George. I like Steve McNair. I like Mike Vrabel. I like Tannehill. I like Derrick Henry. You know what, though? They screwed my Buffalo Bills over. And now the Titans are starting to screw me over. All right? You're starting to screw me over, man. I'm like Jimmy on Kramer. I don't know. Jimmy doesn't like people to take food off his table, man, because that's what the Tennessee Titans are doing right now. They're taking food, man. I order Chinese food tonight. I'm going to end up eating, like, mac and cheese every night. I can't afford Chinese food. I can't afford Uber Eats if I keep betting on the Tennessee Titans. I actually probably still can, but that's besides the point. The Tennessee Titans suck. Steven Gostkowski sucks. The guy, like really, bro, he's hanging on longer than Donald Trump is, all right? Like, Gostkowski, like, just give it up, bro. Stop the count, like, you know, count the vote, whatever, dude, it's over, all right? It's done. No affidavit's going to save your ass. It's over, Gostkowski, all right? Like, just, you know, just give it up, bro. Like, basically, if, you know, I don't want to be a jerk here, but the name of the show is Sports Rage, and I guess I am a jerk. So, but if Gostkowski, if I'm Gostkowski, I actually step aside myself. I actually walk in the room and I say, listen, guys, I'm sorry. I've cost you guys 2-3 football games this year. I'm sorry. I'm going to step down. And no one will stop them. They'll all go, we wish you the best, bro. No one's going to stop. Like, what do you wait? Like, really? Like, you're going to hang on? You're trying to just make that extra $88,000 every 2 weeks? I guess that's the case, man. Well, you know what? Since you're hanging on and you're making so much money for sucking, Gostkowski, how about you send me some money? I swear to God, any player that's ever played for the New England Patriots screws me. Tom Brady's on the Bucs, he screws me. Gostkowski's on the Titans, he screws me. Sports Rage screw job continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want. And how much? $100? $200?
$1,000. Hey, wait a second. What are you doing? You're not betting. You know he's not supposed to bet.
Come on, Jerry. It's a lock.
Kramer, you've had this thing under control for almost 3 years now. Don't start again.
But it's a lock.
No.
Late night anger management class continues. It really is, too. I would say, you know what? I'd say we all need to chill out, but it's been a good show, so no need to chill. We'll just ride. You got to, you know, this is a lesson in life, actually. As somebody that doesn't sleep, although I've come to the conclusion I do have insomnia, okay? I do. I was reading about it. I am a full-out insomniac. I used to just think, nah, I'm just, I have a lot of things to do. It's like, nah, nah, you just, you're an insomniac. But, you know, I'm sure you guys get this feeling sometimes, you know, you're up late. It's like 4 a.m. and you're like, I got to go to bed. Like, and you're sort of like, you know, you're watching TV, you're sort of, you know, you're half into it, you're half out, you're listening to my show, whatever, you're half into it, and you're like, I got to go to bed, man, right? And there's sort of this internal thing that you feel bad. You're like, oh, my God, it's 4 a.m. What am I doing up, et cetera? But I've come, you know, you want to be happy in life. It's like, why? Why do you have to go to bed? like, why don't you just sort of like, why are you going to stress yourself out? Like, we're all so hard on ourselves in life all the time, right? It's like, so, like, I don't know, like, why? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, I'll go to bed when Star Trek's over, and I feel like it. How's that sound? And life's a lot better if you don't fight yourself. There's enough people to fight in this world. You don't need to fight yourself with this stuff. So, like, basically, like, you know, I used to, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I'm like, dude, it is what it is. You can't change the clock. Enjoy it. Ride the wave, right? Ride the roller coaster that is life. So it's the same thing. I was going to say, all right, everyone should just chill out here, but why? You know, our mood tonight, Yang, is hostile. There's been a chain of anger this evening in which, and listen, Yang's doing a great job in master control of Midtown Manhattan, all right?
We're all good, buddy.
Yeah, he gets put in tough spots, you know, new computers, new trainees, new everything, new in between. And I'm going to be real, you know, for people, this might surprise some people tuning in, but sometimes I get angry. I know it's shocking. I know it's shocking that you could believe, but, you know, like Bill O'Reilly's meltdowns don't have anything on me, although I do get better because, if we're going to have a heart attack. So we come on tonight and like, yeah, there's a couple of things going on, but I got to be honest. I got brought into the vortex of stress by our crew. I was fine. I sat down before the show. I'm fine every night. But as Yang knows, I'm always fine when I sit down, Yang. But as you also know, I can go from fine to like raging very quickly. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
sat down and everything was fine. I'm like, hey, guys, what's up?
It was pretty scary.
And then by like 9:08, I'm like, oh, God, man. Like, I'm just like, and then by 9:12, the emails start getting sent. I'm like, all right, like. Like, all the time I rush, I'm like, oh, I got to send an angry email about this. And I'm like, no, don't do it. No one cares. You're just going to piss people off. It's going to start a chain of anger, all right? I'm going to write a song, Chain of Anger. Great name for a song. It's just going to start a chain of anger. But I couldn't help myself yet. So,
nah, buddy.
I didn't throw you under the bus. I just stated. I said, it's constant chaos. It's chaos here. I said, I'm trying to do a show, and I got bullets flying around me. I said, you know, come on. Then I got an angry email back. I hear you in the background yelling at people and like dropping F-bombs. And then I knew I pissed management off because I just didn't get one email. I got like 3 back. It's an effing pandemic. Why don't you like just shut up and do the show? It's like, then I'm getting it. And then I'm getting mad. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, now it's my fault, huh?
Sports raids, buddy.
I hear you during the break. Stop calling me. Shut up, bro. You're flipping out. I'm like, all right. Everyone's about to blow here. I stopped responding to the emails. I jumped off the chain. I was like, all right, I'm going to shut up. I'm out. It's like a poker game. All right, I said my hand has been played. I'm out. And but I got to tell you, I've been in this business a long time, and this is definitely the angriest network like I've ever been on. But you know, I forget at times, like, you know, everyone's, you know, shocking, but New Yorkers can get loud quickly and stuff. But one good thing is about Sports Grid, the gloves come off, and the gloves come off and people get angry and it's a hostile environment. But there's never any hard feelings. You got to have thick skin in New York City. Thick skin in New York City. All right. Otherwise, you know what? You know, go work in Topeka or something like that. Nothing against Topeka, but you won't get yelled at as much in Topeka. There's a lot of yelling in New York. That's shocking. Shocking. I know I'm telling people, yeah, you'd be surprised that New Yorkers get angry. But it happens. But fun times tonight. Great stuff with Teddy so far. But yeah, it's just one of those. I'm telling you, it's the time of the year. People are getting pissed off about this COVID stuff. I know I am. I've been very positive through the coronavirus, understanding that we don't control it. You know, hey, it's good to be alive. And so what? Things close early. But it's getting worse. Right. So it's frustrating. Like, you can't go out. I'm not allowed to have more than two visitors. Honestly, people in prison, have more visitors than I do. I'm breaking the law if I have more than two visitors. Fortunately, I don't have any. All right. So it's fine. I'm like someone at Alcatraz. I'm left alone. Don't worry about me, Argentina. I'm already dead. But it's frustrating. It's always dark out. Yeah, you know, there's these sports. You can't go to games. Or if you go to games, I got fooled tonight, too. And my bad. I'll apologize for ripping the Tennessee Titan organization for their lack of social distancing and fans. I saw the end zone was full. But I was watching on a computer. I was doing a live radio show at the time. But I saw the stands were full of the end zone. The stands weren't full in the end zone. It's half real fans, half cardboard cutout fans. I got fooled by the cardboard cutouts. They look pretty realistic, man, on TV. It's actually a good idea to social distance fans. So I give them credit. It's actually a very good idea. You basically have a couple of people sitting in the seats. You put six cardboard cutout fans in each seat, and then you have real fans again. So I got fooled. I looked into the end zone. I'm like, dear God, the end zone's packed. They're all sitting right next to each other. Cam saw the same thing. He goes, I know. Look at it. They're all right next to each other. Yeah, me and Cam are just idiots, all right? We're just stupid. We're morons. We're idiots. And they're cardboard cutouts. They mixed it up. Philadelphia does that too. You'll notice, watch the Eagles the next time they're at home. You'll notice in the end zone, there's cardboard cutouts and psychos from Philly, mixed in together. You imagine going to a game. This is 20. You go to a game and you sit next to a cardboard cutout. You know what? I want to go to a game, actually. I'm itching to go to a game. And I want to go to a game and I want to sit next to a cardboard cutout and just act like a crazy person. Borrow the cardboard cutout drinks and stuff. Just pour the drink on them. You know what I mean? If there's a cardboard cutout at the team of the, fan of the other team, beat the crap out of the cardboard cutout, start punching things. The best was during the baseball season. I forget who it was who hit the home run, but somebody smoked the home run and they took the head off of someone. The poor fan. That's something that would freak me out. If that happened to me, if I'm the fan, you imagine you get a cardboard cutout, you pay $300, they put it in the outfield for the year. And you of all people got decapitated by a home run. The ball out of everywhere in the stadium, it hits your cardboard cutout and knocks your head off. That happened to someone. That's too good. Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Okay, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Late night anger management class, gambling class. Thank you, Bobby Riggs. Thank you, sir. Bobby. I've told you guys a million times, if you haven't seen the movie, it's worth watching. And I don't watch a lot of movies. I don't have a lot of time. We were just talking about it, all right? I watch old TV shows only. But I have watched a couple of movies. I'll share them with you in a moment. I've happened to watch two movies like in the last three nights. Only because I didn't even know that Star Trek was three seasons. I didn't know it was three seasons only. I knew it was short, you know, 3-4, but I didn't realize. All right, but the thing is, their seasons were long, man. Like, you know, it's like 30 episodes a season or something, like 32, 33 episodes. I think it was like 96 of them. So I've actually watched, guys, like 90 of the 96. I couldn't get through the first one. It's not even Kirk. It's Pike, Captain Pike. It's real bad. Like, the real cast isn't there. It was like the pilot and stuff. The pilot sucked. I couldn't get through it. I tried to watch it to be hardcore to say, yeah, I watched the first episode. I couldn't get through it. By the end of it, I was like, I don't care what happens to any of you. Like, I don't care. I hope the aliens kill you and eat you. But Battle of the Sexes for, you know, gambling-related movies, as I've said before. So you might think, well, Battle of the Sexes is about Billie Jean King. Listen, Billie Jean King, you should know the story if you're a sport fan about Billie Jean King, a real trailblazer. Billie Jean King, one of the most influential people in the history of sport. One of the greatest female tennis players ever. She was a badass, man. She was a real badass. Like, she's also like, you know, one of the first major athletes to be gay, openly gay. But like, she was so good and so powerful, like, you know, that the women weren't making any money on the tour. And she basically said, I'm not playing. She was the champion, the U.S. Open champion. She's like, yeah, I'm not playing. She said, and in fact, not only am I not playing, I'm going to start my own tour. And she did, the Virginia Slims Tour, which was successful. Like, she was powerful. Like, she really made people money and changed things. And, of course, she had the classic game, the Battle of the Sexes against Bobby Riggs. So Bobby Riggs was a tennis player. He won the amateur Wimbledon. He'd won some big tournaments and stuff. He wasn't like the best player in the world, but like he won a major and like he milked it. But he was a funny guy, right? So in real life, he was a nice guy and stuff, but he played up like the chauvinistic jerk type stuff, right? He goes, yeah, I love women in the kitchen, right? And women in the kitchen jokes and basically, so he was retired and he said Billie Jean King was still playing. And he said, I'm old. He goes, I'm 48 or 52. I'd beat her. And they actually did the game, right? They actually did the match at the Houston Astrodome. And she beat him. She smoked him. And a lot of people thought that he threw it because he was a degenerate gambler in real life. But he didn't throw it. He just got beat. He wasn't going to beat her, right? He wasn't going to beat her. Like, she was damn good. He was old and stuff. And he didn't take it seriously either. So it's a true story too. In the movie, it's gold, guys. They're at the Houston Astrodome and she's much better than he thought. Right. So right away he's like, and everything is true. Like everyone associated, I'll say it's exactly how it happened. It's like the most accurate retail ever. Like Billie Jean King said, it scared her how accurate everything was. Like, that's what's cool about it. So it's a true story. I read up on it too. So,
you know, it's hot as hell. They're in the Astrodome and stuff. And Bobby Riggs comes out with a bunch of women in like a chariot, like he's a king carrying them. Like people are booing him and stuff. It's like wrestling almost. He comes out, he's got women carrying him and like, and he's wearing a jacket, man, with a sponsor on the back, okay? Because Bobby Riggs is such a degen. He like lost a bet and like he paid off like a $50,000 bet by wearing a jacket during on national television. So it's real story. So he's sitting there in between, like they played a couple of games. He's sitting there and he's down like 3-0. And he's like, man, I'm hot. And he goes, I'm really, he goes, I don't feel good. Like he's like, he tells his trainer, he goes, I don't feel well, man. He goes, it's freaking hot in here. He goes, she's better than I thought. And he goes, I got problems. And he goes, you got to take the jacket off, Bobby. Bobby goes, I can't. He goes, I can't. He goes, I took 50. He goes, I got $50,000 on this. He goes, if I take the jacket off, I got to pay the guy $50,000, right? So he goes, I can't take the jacket off. It's just too good, man. It's just too good. Like, he's such a degenerate. So like he makes his money in real life after. It was a true story. So like he made his money in real life after playing tennis for money. Like, so like he'd go sort of like golf. Like he'd play against CEOs and like rich people. Except since he won Wimbledon, he had to like, it was a handicap match. So it's gold, man. There's like a scene and it's all true. So he's, Bobby Riggs is playing and he's got two dogs attached to him. Cause he's all drunk. And Bobby goes, I could beat you with two dogs. He goes, I could have two dogs on a leash and beat you. And he's playing someone that's good. And Bobby Riggs literally has two dogs on leashes attached to his wrist. He's playing. He's like, the dogs are chasing the ball and stuff. He's like, hey, back off. And he's hitting the ball. And then so he wins with the dogs. And they're like, all right, we're raising it up a notch. And then Bobby Riggs was playing people where they were putting chairs on the court. So Bobby Riggs is jumping over chairs, smashing the ball back. But he's such a degenerate, he lost all of his money that he won playing tennis. And his wife was going to leave him in real life unless he went to Gamblers Anonymous. And that's where the scene is. And he says, we're not here because we're gamblers. We're here because we're bad gamblers. Because we don't need to stop doing what we're doing. We need to win. Right? Great, great scene. Great movie. And like I said, so you think it's about all just about Billie Jean King and stuff. It's not. It's actually a gambling movie. Like half the movie's about Billie Jean King and her battle with tennis, and the other, they really did a good job of splitting it. Like, so it's half about Billie Jean King and the other half is like about Bobby Riggs and his life. And then they collide, right? It's just too good. Right. And like Bobby Riggs calls her in the middle of the night. She's like, you gotta be kidding me. Bobby Riggs, why are you calling me? She's like, you chauvinistic bastard. He's like, no, it's all an act. He's like, and the crazy thing is, they became buddies. They became really, really good friends after. Great, great movie. Great gambling scenes. Like, if you like gambling movies, great, great movie. It's really, 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 really funny. So, I brought up movies. I watched Death Wish the other night. The remake with Bruce Willis. The remake. And I'm a big fan of the Charles Bronson movies. I like that old school stuff. Like, I don't watch a lot of stuff, but I do like that, you know, that realm of movie. Big fan of like the 70s Death Wish chain of movies. Charles Bronson, his family gets murdered, and then he goes vigilante on your ass. Great stuff. Big, big fan. So, Jimmy Page, that's like the scary New York. All those movies filmed in New York and like, you know, in the Bronx in the 70s and stuff, the creepy music. Great, great movie. So they did a remake with Bruce Willis recently. And I like Bruce Willis. So I'm like, hey, I'll check this out. I like Death Wish. I like Bruce Willis. It's nowhere near. It's not the same. It's good. It's good. It's not the same, though. It's not as gritty. It's a little too polished, but the theme is the same thing. You know, his family gets messed with and then Bruce Willis starts messing people up. But it's pretty good. There's some good scenes. I enjoyed it. So I recommend it after this show. If anyone's looking, if you're ever looking for a late night view, a Death Wish with Bruce Willis, Morenci approved. And exactly, good call by our boy Crash in the chat, who actually works in the film industry in LA. Good call, Crash. As you know, that's why, like, you can't remake the movie The Warriors. You know, one of the best movies ever, The Warriors. You can't, they always wanted to remake it. There was talk of remaking it. And I, you know, a lot of people have talked about it and even bought the rights and stuff. It just doesn't work. You can't do it. Like, the, you know, like how are you going to do it? Just doesn't work. Like, you know, just leave it be. It's just one of those classics. Leave it be. But I don't have a problem with it. It was a good movie, Death Wish. Like I said, yeah, it's not great. It is what it is. It's like mindless an hour and a half of your life of watching Bruce Willis shoot people in liquor stores. But it's funny. It's funny. I'm just talking about movies since Friday the 13th now. So it's like, oh, boy, I better watch Friday the 13th at some point. It's going to be on. And the other movie I watched this last night, actually, at like 4 in the morning when I was putting my master's picks together, is the Equalizer 2. I never saw the first one, but I used to be a big fan of The Equalizer, the TV show. And Denzel Washington now plays The Equalizer in the movies. And Denzel Washington, one of my favorite actors. I've never seen Denzel, like, be bad. Like, the guy's just badass. I got to tell you, that movie, Equalizer, really good. I enjoyed it. I don't say really good often, but The Equalizer 2 is a very good movie. Same thing. Just Denzel Washington messing people up because his family got messed up. You notice there's a theme of movies that I'm enjoying? Yeah, yeah, I like the vigilante and like shooting a bunch of like every movie after on Netflix, I'm like, yeah, more of the same. It says more movies like this. I'm like, yeah, yeah, what else do you have like this? Yeah, very good movie, but He's an awesome actor, Denzel Washington. Great actor. But a lot of sports movies suck. There's not a lot of good sports movies. And gambling movies generally suck as well. There's a couple of good ones. But Battle of the Sexes is definitely right up there. All right. On the other side, I'm going to share something with you that I don't really want to do, but I know a lot of you won't bet this anyways because I don't want to start moving a number, and I'm the only one, it seems, in North America that seems to be on to this right now. Oh, yeah, how'd that over-under 8.5 punt prop do tonight? Indianapolis Colts punted once. Like, it's not even getting close. It's a secret. Don't tell anyone. Like the Stonecutters. It's a secret. Shut up. It's a secret. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Don't ruin your appetites. I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
Hey, all right, all right. How much did you win?
$116.
What a windfall.
Yeah. Yeah, I still feel tingly.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, we gave you our movie reviews. It was movie review night there with me. So, thumbs up for Death Wish. Thumbs up for Equalizer 2. Equalizer 2, a little heavier movie, you know, better written, et cetera. You know, bigger, you know, whatever. It's slicker. Very good movie, Equalizer 2. I recommend a TV show as well. Great show. You know, I'll just throw it out here right now. You know, it'd be a good remake of a movie, actually, since they did the Equalizer. It used to be on back-to-back on CBS in the old days. Wise Guy. That should be a movie. They should remake that. Turn the TV show Wise Guy into a movie. It would work. You could pull it off. Like the storylines, the theme, it just works. That's another old school TV show that was just great, you know, with like gambling and like music business and drugs. And they had great actors, like the dude, like Glenn Frey from the Eagles, Blondie, Deborah Harry was in it. Like they, it was... And they played, like, in the music business. It was, like, a corrupt record label that was really, like, you know, dealing drugs and ripping everyone off. And they had real musicians in it and stuff. Great. Like, you know, remake. God, I'm full of good ideas. So too bad, like, my ideas are better than my picks. So speaking of which, one of my winners tonight, and, you know, sometimes it sucks. We don't catch on to these things earlier. And we're into week 10 right now in the National Football League. So, you know, it sucks sometimes, but better late than never. You know, so there's pretty much still more than half the season left when you include the playoffs, et cetera. But, you know, we caught on to this, but we haven't been just blindly betting it. And we're going to do it this week. We're going to step up and in. We're blindly betting it. We're going across the board, under, and we'll look at the games now, and we'll see if there's a game where, like, we'll accept this one. But there's no more punting in the NFL, guys. Punting, you don't even need a punter. You don't even need a punter. Like, the Indianapolis Colt punter punted once, and he punted at the end of the game. I think there was a penalty, too, on it. Like, I don't even know if they ended up punting. I was laughing about it. They were laughing. They're like, oh, there he is. There's the punter. Yeah, he didn't punt once tonight. And look, you know, the game wasn't like a track meet. You know, Tennessee scored 17 points. They punted three times only. You know, and I tell you, the punt prop, guys, the punt prop is generally 8.5. I'm wondering when they're going to move it to 7.5. They probably will eventually, but the thing is, nobody bets it, right? Nobody bets it. And I can just sit on this and try to cash this, but, you know, I love you guys, man. So, you know, but it's our duty to share this stuff with you. And this is something you all know, man. I used to play the long field goal prop. I dabble with the sack props. Like, I'm always looking for the exotic sort of outside prop that nobody's looking at. Remember earlier this year, I was hitting the penalty props. You know, I was like, man, look at this penalty prop, right? Sort of, I like, you know, when I bet on soccer, I like that. I like the, you know, the corner kicks, the yellow cards, the game within the game, the game within the game. And I, you know, I had a feeling, and it crossed my mind, but, you know, there's a lot of energy in the air today with the Masters and Cam and me are getting all fired up with the football and everything. But I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, dude, you know this punt prop's going to win. Why don't you just hammer this for real? Just put, like, pretty much everything on the punt prop and kick back. I should have. It didn't even come close. Nobody punts in the NFL anymore. Our main man, Pete in Toronto, who's a Bills fan, sent us. So we were talking about earlier today on one of the shows on Game Time Decisions. And I get this. The Buffalo Bill punter doesn't qualify for stats. Think about that. They're 7-2. They played 9 games. The Buffalo Bill punter is like a ghost. He doesn't have any stats. Like, his, like, he doesn't qualify. He hasn't, like, kicked enough. Like, to be registered in the stat line, you need to average 2.6 kicks a game. 2.6 punts a game. That's the minimum to, like, be graded, right? He's averaging 2.3 punts a game. So the Bills are averaging 2.3 punts per game this year, guys. Think about that. And we're getting 8.5 punts in these games. And here's the correlation. And it's not just in my head here. So I knew it, and I figured it out because I lost. I bet on the over a couple of times with the punts, and I lost. And I was like, man, I was like, I got to dig in deeper here. So get this. This is the data through 8 weeks. All right. So we've actually played 9 weeks. So 1 week off. But through 8 weeks, NFL teams have punted 200 fewer times than they did at the same time last year. That's significant. 200 times. How about this as well? Teams are going for it. And this is why I don't play that long field goal prop anymore. We always talk about it. Teams are going for it more all the time because they get it. All right, so get this. When it's 4th-and-1 this year, teams have went for it 55.9% of the time. Last year, and not just last year, but get this. From 2010 through 2019, when it was 4th-and-1, teams went for it 42% of the time. Like, football's changing. Like, the dynamic of the sport, the way it's played, and we have to evolve if we're going to win betting props. We need to evolve with it. We can't be dumb old men. We can be dumb old men and get angry, about modern society, but when it comes to betting, we better be cutting edge. And how about this? Teams are converting on fourth down 69% of the time, which is up 7% on the fourth and ones. 200 fewer punts. And this is all from the NFL data. Earlier in the week, I talked about a leak memo. The NFL had a meeting earlier in the week talking about coronavirus and the playoffs and what will they do and, like, you know, all kinds of scenarios. But they were also talking about, like, you know, the league and the data sort of at the halfway point. What are we looking at? What are the metrics of our league looking at? And what they came up with was that nobody punts anymore. 200 less punts. Everybody goes for it on fourth down now all the time. And it's pretty much going to be a done deal. It's going to be a done deal that instead of onside kicks, it's going to be fourth and 15. So on instead of an onside kick, you can choose to go for it on fourth and 15 from your own 25-yard line. Because basically the onside kick has been taken out. And, you know, I think kicking as a whole will eventually be eliminated from football. And they get into kickoffs. The memo notes that return rates on kickoffs, 34.6% and punts, 40%, are down. The NFL plans to further explore moving the kickoff line to the 30-yard line from its current spot at the 35. See, it's funny, but, you know, you want returns, you don't want returns. Like, figure it out, man. And you see now, teams don't want to return the ball. They don't want to get injured. The players don't do it. Look at the New York Giants, guys. The New York Giants don't have a punt returner. They don't have anybody back there. They take the chance that the ball will bounce their way. I'm dead. Like, the Giants do not, like, even put someone back there to return punts anymore. And Joe Judge was a special teams guy and with the Patriots. And this guy is like, nah, you know what? It's better off. And I swear to God, like, the other night it was bothering me when I had money on the Giants. I'm like, dear God, guys, like, really? You're not going to put anyone back here? What if the ball, like, bounces, rolls? And I swear, every time they got the bounce. Like, once the other team punted, they had no one there. The ball, like, landed at the 30 and popped back up and went to, like, the 40. They picked up 10 yards. I don't know if he just figures, you know what? My guy's going to fumble. He's going to get hurt. Like, nothing good is going to happen from this. He's not returning it for a touchdown anyways. Right? Like, that's a new thing. And you'll see punt returners, you send guys out there, and then they get hurt. Look at DeSean Jackson. That's how stupid Doug Peterson is, though. Right? Like, I remember they sent, like, I remember earlier it was Golden Tate with the Giants. They sent him back, and he had no interest in running it. Right? Like, these veteran wide receivers that used to do that, they're not down with it. So you send them out there, they're just going to fair catch it. So remember poor DeSean Jackson, who always gets hurt, but it wasn't his fault. Poor DeSean. I remember they're losing the game. It's a blowout, or they were up, whatever it was. I remember I tweeted about it, and I said, what are you doing, Peterson? You're putting DeSean Jackson in to return punts? Like, why? You're losing the game. There's, like, 2 or 3 minutes left. What are you doing? He puts DeSean Jackson in. No, they won the game. It was against the Giants. They barely won. That was it. They were icing the game late. He put DeSean Jackson in to catch a punt. No, to Peterson's defense, DeSean Jackson called a fair catch and got killed by the guy in the Giants. Remember, two dudes on the Giants hit him at once? He actually called a fair catch, and he got knocked out. Was he done for the year or whatever? He was severely injured after that. And I just remember I tweeted at the time, I'm like, Peterson, DeSean Jackson's a veteran who's always hurt. Like, brilliant idea, buddy, putting him out there on the punt coverage, bro. Like, great, great idea. And then he got hurt. So, you know, NFL is changing. The long field goal prop doesn't hit anymore because, as we just talked about, everybody goes for it all the time. And that's significant. From 2010 to 2019, they went for it 42% of the time on fourth and one. Now it's 55% of the time. And they're converting it on 65% of the time. So why the hell would you wuss out at any time? Just go for it all the time, man. 65% of the time. Coaches that play to lose, lose. But this Sunday, we're going to be cashing in. Under punts. Like, come on, man. Let's look at the Buffalo Bills in Arizona. How many times are these teams really punting between the two of them? Buffalo averaged 2.3 punts a game. All right, like, look, the worst team in the NFL, the New York Jets, punt 5 times a game. Buffalo punt 2.3 times a game, the second lowest in the NFL. Carolina punt the least, 2 times a game. The Raiders punt 2.4 times a game. New England 2.5, Green Bay 2.9, Dallas even, who sucked, 2.9, Cleveland 3. You see, like, there's not a correlation between having a good offense and lack of punting. Nobody punts. I don't know what it is. Like, I'd like to really dig down deeper and talk to someone smarter than me about this and say why. Are they fumbling? Is it like, what is, like, because, you know, like, look, the Buffalo Bills, man, the Buffalo Bills are the first team since like 1941 or something to win a football game playing football, pro football, that they didn't score a touchdown and they didn't punt. Think about that. The Buffalo Bills played the New York Jets a couple of weeks ago. The Bills did not score a touchdown. They kicked 6 field goals, and they never punted once. They're the first team in modern era history to win an NFL game without scoring a touchdown and without punting. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, it doesn't add up. You know, I guess it does. They marched down the field 6 times and kicked 7 times. He missed one, or he missed 2, actually. Yeah, that's what happened. They went down the field 8 times and kicked 6 field goals. Right? So these props at 8.5, guys, let's sweep it in while we can before they move it to 6.5 and 7.5 and whatever. They're not going to scare me at 7.5. We'll play it. But I think if you take anything from tonight's show, think about what I just talked about with the lack of punting, teams going forward as much as they are, and the revolution of offense in professional football and how we can make money betting it. We have to evolve. You know, they asked Lane Kiffin about Nick Saban. He said, what makes Saban so good? He goes, for an old guy, man, the guy's interested in new stuff. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Late night anger management class. Late night anger management class continues. We got someone in our chat says they love me, but I hit my peak when I was in the band Homicide. And I'm laughing because I think I made about $28 in that band. I spent more on dinner tonight than I think I've ever made in the music business. Actually, it's not true. We've had a couple of good nights. Music business is sort of like gambling. There's been a couple of good nights along the way, but when you're in a speed metal band, let me tell you, you're not in it for the money. It's like Yang. Yang's not in this business for the money. It's the passion. He likes getting yelled at. He likes yelling at other people. He likes crazy trollers. He likes it all. It's all about the passion, right, Yang?
I don't like it, buddy. I don't like it. I love it, buddy. I love it. I live for it.
Yeah, you got to embrace it. Yeah, like I said earlier. So now we can say, all right, everyone chill out and not be so angry. But no, why? You know, let's embrace our feelings, right? Embrace your emotions. You're better off in life. You're better off in life that way. And look, we had a great show. We had a great show this evening. And it actually took my mind off of the Tennessee Titans. Like, dear God, man. Like, holy crap. Holy crap. That special teams. You know, like, really. Somebody sent me a good GIF on Twitter about, about their special teams. Remember, like, the episode of The Simpsons when Homer and Flanders are the coach? And, like, little Ralph Wiggum was on the team. I'm special. Yeah, you are. Like, yeah, basically, like, the Simpsons, like, could have done a better job on special teams. Like, block punt for a touchdown, shank punt that leads to a touchdown, missed field goal, 17-point swing, and they lose by 17. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we bet the in-game over 52.5, get to 51 easily. They're inside the red zone like 10 times. They don't score. And in the end, it's the good old sports rage screw job. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.